over in Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 1. I just want to read one verse to us tonight and spend a few minutes just upon this one verse, maybe a thought. Here in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith. Now, I want us to remember the context of what you and I have been studying on, and it was redemption. Redemption by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Redemption through His blood. That's what He told us there in 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood. And then, of course, in verse 20, He said that He's made peace through the blood of His cross. Made peace with God. And give us peace in our conscience. And then, of course, in verse 21, He's reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death. He reconciled us. And then in verse 22, He will present you holy in His sight. All of this is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything that's did that He has done on our behalf in the way of redeeming grace. And I say that to say this, we must make a distinction between these two things. We must make a distinction between the Lord Jesus Christ and His working out redemption for us. We must make a distinction in that and faith. These are two different things, aren't they? What Jesus Christ did in the days of His flesh, what He's doing now at the right hand of God, that is altogether different than faith. Faith did none of those things. Here's what I'm trying to say. Faith does nothing. Faith does absolutely nothing. But faith receives everything. Faith produces nothing. But faith receives everything. And we say this sometimes because I remember years ago, Brother Scott Richardson preached a message, Christ, not faith. Christ, not faith. And we make a distinction because of this, because faith wasn't born of a virgin. Faith didn't live a life of representing us. Faith didn't earn and procure the redemption from our sins. Faith didn't go to the grave. Faith never raised. Faith is not seated at God's right hand. The Son of God did all of those things. You say, Bruce, why is faith so essential then? Because faith is the only channel by which we receive all the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I say that faith produces nothing. Faith simply receives everything at His hand. That's what I want to look at just a little bit tonight. When you and I were lost, we had no benefits that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were without faith, we had absolutely no benefits given to us. All the benefits of Christ, all His merit, comes through faith. See what I'm saying? It all comes through faith. What does faith do? It receives at the hands of its Redeemer everything. It receives everything to save it. It receives everything to justify us and wash us. But you know something? Before faith, we're guilty, we're naked, and we're vile, and we're hopeless until faith comes. Someone said this, faith is the first essential grace that we obtain to be saved. Why is it an essential grace? Why can't we be saved apart from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the only channel that the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us. Only a believer has the life of Christ in them. Before we believed, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Only a believer is forgiven of all his sins. Before we believed, we were guilty, weren't we? Guilty before God. Only a believer has the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to them. So you see, you begin to see the importance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a distinction to be made, isn't there? What Christ has did and our believing on Him for it is altogether two different things. He did all the work. Faith simply receives that work. And both the doing and the receiving is essential. And that's the first grace that comes to us. And before that, everything that we do is sin. Paul said here in verse 3 and verse 4, at the beginning of this chapter 1, he says, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. And why does Paul begin there? Why don't he go back before that? Well, what's before faith? There's nothing there to talk about, is there? That's where we begin our new life, by faith in Jesus Christ. Before that, it's dead works, isn't it? Somebody said, well, I was in this religion, and it was false. It was contrary to the Scriptures. But I'm not going to throw it away. Well, you should. I threw all my free will to the bats and the moles. Why? It's worth nothing. Why? I never had believed on Christ. Before faith in Christ comes, everything else is sin, isn't it? The Bible calls it dead works. So Paul is saying here, since I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, there's where we begin, isn't it? That essential grace, the beginning of our salvation in us. Now here in verse 23, the Apostle Paul stresses the importance of continuing in that faith. If you continue in faith, we start in faith, don't we? That's where we start. That's so important. It's so important how we begin our way, isn't it? It's so important how you become a Christian. There's only one way to become a Christian, and that's through faith in Christ. The whole Scripture teaches it. There's three things concerning believers in the Old and New Testament that is common with us today. And this is one of the ways Brother Mahan used to say that we know that we're true believers, because we believe just like those in the Old Testament and just like the saints in the New Testament believe. We can find our faith in them. There's three things concerning their faith and ours that makes it the same. Their faith had a beginning. It had a beginning. We weren't born with faith, were we? No man is born with faith. Abel, the first man we read about in the Scriptures, had faith. He wasn't born with it. It had to be given to him. There's a time he did not believe, and then there's a time he did believe, and he bought that sacrifice, that bloody sacrifice, and laid it down between him and the holiness of God. And the Bible says he did that by faith. You know, there was a time when Abraham didn't believe. He wasn't born. He was in heathen idolatry. And the Lord called him and gave him faith. And he does the same thing with you and I, doesn't he? We have a time. I don't dare say that you know exactly when you first believed. Many people, I used to think I did, but now I wonder. But there was a time I did not believe, and there's a time I did believe. Newton said, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. He had it nailed down, I guess. A lot of us don't. But I do know this, and you know this, that we have something in common with the faith of these Old Testament saints, with the apostles and prophets and all other believers. There's a time they didn't believe. There's entering that straight gate, isn't it? There's a coming to Christ. There's a believing in Jesus Christ. There sure is. The second thing we have in common about this faith, they lived by faith. They begin by faith and they lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. This is what the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. It's about the just living by faith. You go there sometime and read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you see how those men obtained victories, how they got the victories in their daily life, and that was by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down, and how did they fall down? By faith. They believed God, didn't they? How did they come across the Red Sea? By faith. They got so many victories by faith. Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. How was he able to do that? By faith. He lived by faith alone. There is no other way to live our Christian lives and get the victory over Satan, over flesh, and over sin, but living by faith in the Son of God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ? We live that way. That's the only way to get the victory over sin. And Paul mentions that here in chapter 2 in verse 7 of this book when he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Rooted in him. We all know something about if we have gardens, if we plant trees, know anything about that. What is a root system? Rooted. What does that mean? That means the plant has to have a root system because the roots suck all of the nutrients out of the soil and put it into the plant. The plant has its life and its nourishment and its fruit through those roots, doesn't it? How do we live? Rooted in Christ. We suck merit. We suck strength. We suck help from Jesus Christ, just like the roots gathered from the soil. And built up, he said, just like a house is built up. When you start a house, what do? You build it upon a foundation, don't you? You build that house upon the foundation. Every stone that you lay is laid upon that foundation until the very last shingle is put on that house. And that's what he's saying here. We're rooted in Christ and we're built up in him. We build upon him and build up in him, and we are established in the faith. You know, one of the reasons that we deny ourselves so many victories in our life, one of the reasons we live so discouraged and so disappointed, is we do not live by faith. That's the only way for a Christian to live is by faith. We begin this way, and we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Look in the Scriptures, and that's the only way they lived. They walked by faith. They stood by faith. They lived by faith. And thirdly, and just as important, the Scripture says about the Old Testament saints, and it's said also about the New Testament saints, and if you're here, and you've been brought to Christ to believe on Him and you live by faith, this will be said about you. These all died in the faith. There's the beginning, believing. They continued in that faith, and they died in that faith. That faith. They began by faith in the merit and work of another. They were enabled to live their Christian life and follow the Lord because they lived by faith upon the merits and faithfulness of another. And when they come down to die, they received dying grace from Him. They began in the faith, they continued in the faith, and they died in the faith. Every step of their way, it was by faith. Isn't that important? That's so important. If you continue in the faith, if we have truly begun in the faith of the gospel, there is no other way to continue, brothers and sisters, but by faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin that way, we continue that way, and we'll die that way. Verse 23 teaches what Scriptures as a whole teaches everywhere, the necessity of persevering in the faith. That's what it's teaching us. If you continue in the faith. The major difference in us and Armenians is this. We believe that a person who has begun in the faith will continue in the faith. That's the difference in it. And that's a major difference. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, if they quit believing, if they were moved from the hope of the gospel, they would perish. But Christ's promise secures their never being moved. I give unto them eternal life, they will never perish. In other words, they'll never quit believing. They'll never quit believing. The purpose of God secures their faith unto the end. Those He predestinated, them He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. The purpose of God is to do what? Glorify every believer. And He said, what I've purposed, I'll accomplish, didn't He? And the working of the sovereign Spirit within our hearts assures that every believer will continue to believe until he dies, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What good work is that? Faith. All the graces of the Holy Spirit within us, but the first grace that He begins is faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that faith comes to us as a grace of the Holy Spirit. And when He begins that work, He'll never stop it. He'll never stop it. There are some Armenians, and I've known them, and I say this by experience, there are some Armenians that they turn to verse 23 here in our text, and they use this as a foundation to build doubts upon. Aha, they say. Here it is. If you can see what Paul is saying, if you continue. In other words, you may not. This verse is teaching that you may yet fall away. There's been whole books by Armenians written on you can fall away as a believer. They preach several messages. You think sometimes they glory in that. Who would glory in something like that? Who would write a whole book trying to prove that a believer can fall away? How discouraging that would be to live under that. Every time you got in a dark valley, every time you're climbing a steep hill under the awful chastening hand of God, you think, well, this is it. I'm gone. They use this if to create doubt. I guess they think sometime if you can get a person to doubt, somewhere or another he's going to live more to God's glory. Or it's going to help him to be more watchful, and it's going to help him to have victories in his life. But neither one of those things are so. Doubt never honors God. Doubting God never honors God. It's a dishonor to Him, isn't it? Listen to this. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What is it that gives glory to God? I'm telling you, it's not giving glory to Him when you look at this and say, well, there it is. He may not bring me through. If. Here's what honors God. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded, there was no room in Abraham's heart to doubt God. Being fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able to perform. He said, Lord, You've given this promise, and I believe You. And boy, that honored God. It's not God that creates doubts in our hearts, is it? God don't lay any foundations in His Word. Do you think this if in His Word is given there for saints to doubt Him? Man, He knows, our Lord knows, that we lay enough foundations of our own making, don't we, to build our doubts upon. But He never does that. He never does that. And I tell you, doubt is never won the first victory. Doubt is never one of the first words. Doubt will sink us every time. On it. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You remember the context of that, don't you? Peter was walking on the water. He was stepping across those waves because he had his eye upon the Savior. The Savior said, come on, come to me. And he took him at his word and was walking until he got his eyes off of the Savior and looked at the waves and he began to doubt and down he went. Faith in Jesus Christ will let you walk on the water. Faith in Jesus Christ will let you do miracles in your life. Every day is a miracle, isn't it? You face the gates of hell, live in this flesh, face a frowning world, and you endear them. That's a miracle, brothers and sisters. But it's by faith, not by doubting. And when old Peter began to go down, you ask why, and the Lord Jesus tells it. Your doubts. You doubted. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Faith is what gets the victory. Who is he that overcometh the world? This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. This word, if, is not used to create doubt in us. It is not. This word, if, is here to instruct the saints that as they have begun by faith in Christ, so they must continue that way. That's what it's there to encourage them about. Look at the Galatian church, what a mess they got themselves into. They turned back to the ceremonial law and circumcision, keeping holy days, and they got themselves in a mess. Got so discouraged, biting and devouring one another. And why did they do that? They ceased to live by faith. And the Apostle Paul is telling this Colossian church here, just as you've begun by faith, living upon Jesus Christ, you must continue that way. And brothers and sisters, isn't that so encouraging? That's so encouraging to live by faith. Though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice. Believing, you rejoice. Doubting, you're miserable. But believing, you rejoice. Don't we read in the Scripture about the joy of faith? The joy of faith. The joy of living by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling them here. This word if is here also to yield a death blow to presumption. Or merely assuming that all faith is saving faith. If saving faith is that faith which receives all from the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, from its beginning to its end, and only that is saving faith which continues to believe, what do we say then about that faith that begins and then is moved away? Paul is saying here, true saving faith continues. But what about that faith that don't continue then? You know, the world thinks every faith is the right faith, don't they? The world can't distinguish between what's bad faith and what's good. If it's faith, it must be good. It must be right. Paul said, only that faith that begins and continues in another, in Jesus Christ. That's the only true faith. If you continue in this faith. All of us remember that seed that was sown in the grounds. Remember all the seed? One, it was said, was sown by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and plucked up the seed. And the Lord Jesus said, that's Satan. He comes and plucks the word out of the heart. Why does he do that? Lest they should hear and believe. You know, everybody don't have faith, do they? Everybody don't have faith. They just don't. It's sad to say that, but they don't. And what's going to happen to people that have no faith? They have no hope. Do they? They have no hope. But there's some people have faith that's no good either because it's only temporary faith. Remember the faith that the Lord Jesus said, the seed was sown on stony ground? This is those that believe for a while. But in time of temptation, in time of trial, they fall away. You want a faith like that? Well, that's no good, is it? They believe for a while. But when trials come, when afflictions come, their faith goes by the wayside. It's not the faith that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in our text. There's some in the Apostle Paul's day that came up with this falsehood that the resurrection had passed already. They came up with that. I don't know where they got that at. Surely didn't get out of the Bible. But when they started preaching that the resurrection is past already, he said they overthrew the faith of some. Some just give up. Some quit believing. What kind of faith was that? That's a faith that was so weak it could be overthrown by the sly and cunning craftiness of man. The world assumes that every kind of faith is good enough. But the Word teaches us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And the faith that is real and saving is that faith which continues as it began in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues all the way till you die. And faith gives way to sight. And every other faith is false. It's absolutely false. In verse 23, here is what the Apostle Paul is given, why he says this, if you continue in the faith. It's given to better prove in us the faithfulness of our covenant God. It builds up our estimation and our value of this hope that He gives us. And how much do you value the faithfulness of God in keeping you? That's what he's saying here. He's saying here, brothers, listen to me. Sisters, listen to me. He said, the only faith that is saving, is lasting, is this enduring faith. Every other faith is no good. It's not saving. So he turns right around in other places in the Scriptures, and he tells us how faithful God is in keeping us and working in us to will and to do and to finish this faith in us. It creates this estimation of our faithfulness of God. Every time you go through a dark valley and you come out the other side, how do you feel about that? Don't that strengthen your appreciation of your Heavenly Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ? And of the Holy Spirit. Every time you climb up a hill that's difficult to get up, and you just wonder sometimes, I'll never get over this hill, but the Lord gets you over that hill, don't that increase your estimation of Him and His love for you and His goodness and faithfulness? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. If you know that you have to endure in faith, but as you endure in faith, it makes you appreciate Him. It puts a new estimation, a new appreciation upon the triune God, your covenant God. Can you be moved away from this hope of the gospel when you're supported by such a sovereign hand as our faithful God? You can't, can you? And if He don't support you, what's going to happen? We fall. This is His work. This is His work. Jude reminds us to build up ourselves on the most holy faith. But who ever built up himself apart from God working in him? Who ever walked by faith? Who ever stood by faith? Who ever overcome the world by faith apart from the Holy Spirit working in him? Who can walk through this world as a Christian and endure it without a mediator on God's right hand? He tells us here, the only faith that's the right faith is this faith that endures, a faith that you'll continue in. And boy, as you continue in it, it better proves the faithfulness of our God, doesn't it? In verse 23, if you continue in the faith, this is not put here to create doubt of your final salvation, but to affirm that when you do endear, and as you do endear, it gives God all the credit, gives God all the glory for it. It affirms to you that He which begun the good work in you is indeed performing it. He is indeed performing it. I tell you, it's amazing that what the Armenians turn to doubt, to cause people to doubt, it really is there to create confidence. If we must endure, and if that's the true faith, then as we endure, it just reaffirms that the Lord is working in me. He is working in me. Verse 23 is, you're to prove also the sincerity of the love that we have for this hope. I tell you what, there was a time when you and I, the Bible says, we had no hope. You know, back then, when you had no hope, you didn't even know it, and it didn't bother you too bad. But boy, looking back now, Wayne, what if you'd have died in that river? Was that you and your brother or friend? What if, looking back on that now, you realize God kept you, He preserved you, but what if you'd have died there? All the times, the dangers that some of you have gone through, what if you'd have died there? Without hope and without God in the world. You look back on that now, it's a chilling thought, isn't it? Makes you appreciate Him for keeping you until He was pleased to save you. But you had no hope and without God in the world. But then the gospel come to you and it give you hope in the world to come. A good hope. And what's your estimation of that hope? How much do you love it? Would you sell it for anything? Oh, if you could be sitting here tonight and Satan was allowed to snatch this hope right from you, knowing what you know now, to go back to the hopeless state, our hearts would break, wouldn't it? It would break. How much value do you put upon this hope of the gospel? Oh, my goodness, we can't put a price upon it. If you continue in the hope of the gospel, can you imagine the fear and concern and the trial of their love those apostles felt when the Lord Jesus said, will you also go away? Will you leave me? I'm the fountain of living waters. Will you go away? And it seemed like He gave them the liberty to really think about it. Do you want to leave me? And Peter said, Lord, you ever notice how Peter said that? He didn't say, well, he said, Lord, like, to think about this is awful. Lord, to whom shall we go? And if you and I don't have this hope, how can we live? We'd die, wouldn't we? Die of a broken heart. How much value do we put upon this? Places like this makes us realize, the value. If you continue in faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Moved away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, how dreadful that would be. How dreadful that would be, because we love this hope. I tell you, those 11 men felt it that day. The Lord Jesus said, will you go away? Peter said, Lord, we believe and we're sure that You're the Christ, the Son of God, and nobody else has the words of life but You. Oh, we can't think of going away. And the other, the 12th man, he never did have faith, did he? He never did have a good hope. He closes this verse with this gospel, the hope of the gospel, and there's no other gospel that gives this hope, nothing else that gives this hope but the gospel, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. I did a little more depth of study of this week. Every creature. This word every, it means whole, the whole. And the word creature, in other places, it's translated creation. From the beginning of the creation. So it seems like, and I was looking at several translations, almost all of them translated this way. The gospel which was preached to the whole creation under heaven. And it seems like the Apostle Paul wasn't saying that the gospel was preached to every creature without exception. If it was preached to every creature, and we want to hold to a creature, then we'd have to say, was it preached to dogs or cats or elephants or birds or fish? So it seemed like this is a good interpretation of this, to say that it was preached to the whole creation, or in the whole creation. Remember when the Lord Jesus sent His apostles out and He said, you shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And that seemed like that's what that's meaning here. It's preached in the whole creation. They went in all the known world and preached this gospel of hope. And don't you imagine that at that time the Holy Spirit was saving people all over the world, everywhere they went. He was saving people. And that tells us, brothers and sisters, there's going to be people in heaven. There's going to be from all over the world, from all under heaven, all creation, the tribes and the tongues and ages, and they attributed the realization to that hope to one thing. And you know what it is? If you ask those in heaven who are up there now, where'd you get the hope of this place? This eternal happy place. They'd say the gospel brought it to them. I was without hope. And here come these guys. And they was preaching this gospel all over. And it came to me. And it gave me hope. And now I've realized that hope. And I'm in this holy and happy place. And brothers and sisters, if the gospel has come to you, and the Holy Spirit has given you grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll realize your hope too. I don't know what you may have to go through between now and the time that you close your eyes. But I know this. If the Holy Spirit has begun this work in your heart, He'll finish it. That's the promise of His Word. He'll finish it. Whatever you go through, be encouraged. Don't let the devil or don't let your heart give yourself over to doubt of the Lord. He's faithful. He'll finish this work. You say, but oh, if. But that's not there to make you doubt. That's not there to make you doubt. That's just there to instruct you to know as you've begun, you must continue. But you will continue. You will continue. And He'll see to it. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Lord, we thank You, gracious Father, our Lord Jesus. You're our Lord and our God. We thank You for this blessed verse of Scripture. It obligates You, Lord. You've obligated Yourself to continue the work that You've begun. Because if we quit believing after You've given us faith to believe, then You're going to be dishonored. And You'll never stand for that. We'll be lost. But You'd receive the dishonor. You'll never allow us, and we praise You for it. Thank You for this dear people that come here tonight to sing unto You and to worship You, to pray and to listen to Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You'd bless the needs, as Brother Larry has already mentioned, of this congregation. And visit us, Lord, visit us. Visit us in our homes. Visit us as we read Your Word, as we pray and sing in our homes. Oh, save our children, Lord, if it's for Your glory, if it could be Your will. May You begin a revival, a work here in our midst. Oh, bring us near to Yourself in the tenderness of Your mercies. Open up Your heart to us. Win and woo us to Yourself. Win us from this world. Oh, Lord, we have so much we need to be won from. Only You can win us. We ask these things for Your glory, for Your name's sake. Amen.